Welcome to the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana.
Watford for the win!
Yes! Yes! Unbelievable!
Your daily home for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Welcome to Indiana basketball.
Smart takes the shot! And the Hoosiers with 3 seconds. Go ahead.
Indiana wins the championship. Keith Smart is the hero.
When my time on Earth is gone and my activities here are past, I want they bury me upside down and my critics can kiss my...
Now here's your host, Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana. What I feel is the pinnacle, the absolute pinnacle of all of college basketball.
Hello, welcome in. It's a Wednesday edition of the Hoosier Report right here on the Big X Sports Radio. Big day. We've got, obviously, the Hoosier Report coming up here in this hour. And tonight we'll be back at play-by-play of local sports. Lee Kelly and I will be at New Albany High School. We will have the boys' game from the Indiana Junior-Senior All-Star Exhibition at the Doghouse tonight. Girls' game begins at 6. We think the boys' game will begin somewhere around 7:30 at the earliest, 8 o'clock at the latest. We'll be on the air for the boys' game tonight. We've got the All-Star games coming up this weekend. We've got Silver Creek Baseball coming up this weekend. So a ton of stuff going on right now in a time period that can normally be a little slower as school comes to a close. We've got plenty of happenings with local sports going on. You can stay on top of everything here in Southern Indiana with the Hoosier Report and, of course, the Big X Sports Radio. Okay, let's get to the guest lineup. A service of Honey Baked Ham each day here on the Hoosier Report. Joining us in this Wednesday show, Greg Mengelt, sports editor of the News and Tribune. He will be in studio later in the program. Today we'll also go through and preview the junior-senior games tonight. Of course, notably the boys' game, which will be headlined by Romeo Langford, Indiana's Mr. Basketball. There's some IU connections in the game with Robert Finnessy and Demezi Anderson both on the roster. Also, the junior All-Stars, a number of top-level players will participate in that game as well that you might want to get out and see. So we'll talk about all of it and get you set for, again, 6 o'clock, the girls' game, 7:30 or so, the boys' game tonight at New Albany High School. If tickets are available, there are still time for you to get some. The doors opened tonight at 5 o'clock, I understand, and there are a number of tickets still available. There was a number sold, but still a good amount of tickets available for purchase at the door tonight. So here's a chance to get out and see some summer basketball, and we'll talk about the game a little bit later on the program. That's the lineup presented by Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Mention the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison. Get $1 off your box lunch at Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Let's go through some Hoosier headlines, a summary of the day's top IU and Southern Indiana sports news presented by Hoopster Sports Grill in Jeffersonville. Of course, always recruiting stuff to get to at this time of the year. That should be no surprise to you. Inside the hall, our friend Alex Bozich, great catch-up story on five-star forward Trendon Watford. And I'll let you read it at InsideTheHall.com. But, of course, Watford averaged 17.2 points, 8.0 rebounds, 2.2 assists, 1.1 blocks while playing for the Georgia Stars in the Nike EYBL circuit this spring. Younger brother of former IU forward Christian Watford. And here's a quote. I do want to share a quote with you from the story on InsideTheHall.com. This is the Romeo effect that we all talked about. If IU could figure out how to get Romeo in the fold, whether he's there a year or more, this is the type of effect he's having with some of these younger players that are going through their recruitment that just a year ago, Romeo was in the same place they are, entering their final summer of travel and shoe-sponsored basketball. But here's what Watford said. He said, quote, "Langford is a top player. He's probably going to come in and change the program. That's obviously an eye-opener to everyone. This is only Coach Miller's second year, and he's already got a top five recruit to commit. So he's obviously stepping in the right direction." Big stuff from a big-time player in the 2019 class. And people say, well, if Romeo's only there for a year, what effect can he have long-term on the IU program? Well, other than being a legend as a high school basketball player, if he can come in and put up good numbers, maybe great numbers as a freshman, that obviously stands by itself as a great accomplishment at a school like Indiana in the Big Ten Conference. But if he can lead a resurgence of in-state players, and it's true that there were already some in-state commits, Robert Fennessy and Demise Anderson, that had already made their way to Indiana long before Romeo committed. But if he can lead a resurgence of the top of the top, the best of the best from the Hoosier State, and IU being in the mix and maybe a favorite to land those type of players year in and year out, and if he can help draw in Trendon Watford from Alabama and maybe Matthew Hurt from Minnesota and other top players that say, hey, you're right, the program is trending in the right direction, even if the win-loss column doesn't reflect that maybe at this point, although not a bad year last year, definitely not a great year, that type of effect alone can spread and be the Romeo effect before he's ever played his first game at Indiana, whether he's there 4 years or 1 year, that he can have on the program after the historic type, well-traveled, well-followed career that he had as a high school and a grassroots player coming up in New Albany. So interesting to hear Trendon Watford with such positive words. I don't know what that means for Indiana in his recruitment. Obviously, they have some competition from Alabama and some other schools in the South that have been involved with Watford for a number of years. But the connection that the Watford family has to Indiana, plus the impression that Archie Miller has made, landing Romeo Langford, some other guys that Trendon would likely get the chance to play with, like Robert Fennessy and the other 2018 recruits, has to give Indiana a legitimate chance, even as an outsider to Alabama, the in-state school, and some of the others maybe closer proximity-wise that are recruiting Trendon Watford down in Alabama. Also, another note, recruiting-wise, Trace Jackson Davis, no surprise here, but he makes the under-18 FIBA's America team. They will play in the FIBA Americas, basically a North American tournament, under-18 championship in St. Catharines, Canada, coming up here very soon this summer. Very similar to the opportunity that Romeo Langford had a year ago. The only difference is this team is not going to Egypt. The tournament happened that they'll be playing in happens to be Canada at St. Catharines. Now, if they win that, and I think they would be a big favorite heading into that, they would have the opportunity to compete perhaps for a international-type title down the road as 19 and under players. But obviously a big opportunity for any high school kid to represent their country and work with USA Basketball, the official governing body of men's basketball in the country. And Trace Jackson Davis tweeting out last night that he will be part of that of those festivities for USA Basketball on the under-18 national team. Other names, or at least another name that you might really want to pay attention to, Matthew Hurt from Rochester, Minnesota. He's in the game. Obviously, Indiana has been recruiting him now since Archie Miller and his team arrived in Bloomington. So, obviously, some stuff there that with IU guys to follow coming up, and that's an event that'll take place later in the summer in St. Catharines, Canada. Also, a little bit of a surprise, but Texas Southern head coach, former Indiana coach, Mike Davis. We, of course, have had Mike Davis on the Hoosier Report a couple times in the past. He is taking the Detroit job, not the NBA job, the college job, obviously, and which makes sense because he's had a number of successful seasons. I think they have made the NCAA tournament in 4 out of 5 years at Texas Southern. And if you know more about the tournament or about the program at Texas Southern, and if you heard Coach Davis's interviews on this program, you get that Texas Southern isn't necessarily a powerhouse. It isn't necessarily a place that's well-funded as far as its athletics go. He played an unbelievable number of road games the last few years, having a pretty good team at Texas Southern, going to play high-major Division I competition, not only to get his team ready for the tournament and for conference play, but also to just to get money so they could eat well, travel well, have great gear, because those games against road games for Texas Southern at the big schools were obviously an opportunity for them to get a pretty good payday at most, if not all of those stops. So interesting how he kind of formulated his path at Texas Southern, how he was able to take a good team, recruit a good team, put them to work. And I think it's interesting that he's coming back to the Midwestern area because even though he has a lot of connections in the South, down into Alabama, down into Georgia, down into Louisiana. Obviously, a lot of inroads in Texas now. He had a lot of Texas players, as you would expect, on his roster at Texas Southern. But he's got connections in the Midwest from his days at Indiana. That's a little perk to his name. I think Detroit could be a job where he maybe tries to get some mid-major Indiana kids, bring some kids up from the South, and I think you'll see him get players. Getting players has never been the issue for Mike Davis. So great to see him back in the area, somewhat in Detroit to follow him. Just a good man, and always have rooted for his success, no question about that. That's a look at the headlines for this Wednesday program. Don't forget tonight, coming up, we have the Indiana Junior-Senior Boys Exhibition Game. That features Romeo Langford, Sean East, Demezi Anderson, Robert Fennessy, and others that you'll be interested in. If you can't make it to the Doghouse tonight, you can tune in to the Big X somewhere around 7:30, 7:45. We'll have the play-by-play from that game. We'll also have a lot of interviews and just a lot of insight. Lee and I will have a lot of fun with that game. And, of course, it's Romeo Langford and Sean East, their final game at the Doghouse in New Albany. So a lot of fun tonight. And it'll also be a very big and competitive warm-up for the Indiana All-Stars, because they've got Kentucky in a two-game series Friday and Saturday this weekend, and it's a Kentucky team that's thought to be fairly talented. So the Indiana Juniors have a good group. We're going to talk more about that game coming up here in just a bit. The Indiana Juniors have a good group. We'll tell you more about some of the players on that team coming up if you're going to make it out to the Doghouse tonight. That's a look at the headlines presented by Hoopster Sports Grill in Jeffersonville. It's Wednesday, which means at Hoopsters you can buy three or six traditional or boneless wings. Again, buy three, buy six, traditional or boneless, and you get three or six free. So you buy three, you get three free. You buy six, you get six free. Great quality wings, great deal. Stop by Hoopster Sports Grill in Jeffersonville every Wednesday for lunch or for dinner for this great wing special. We'll head to a commercial break. We'll come back with more right here on the Big X Sports Radio.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison. Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
I'll handle this the way I want to handle it now that I'm here. You f***ed it up to begin with. Now just sit there or leave. I don't give a f*** what you do. Now, back to the game.
Here's Matt Dennison.
And we're back here on a Wednesday edition of the Hoosier Report. Glad to have you with us on the Big X Sports Radio. A couple other headlines I wanted to get to I didn't hit in the first segment. We've got Greg Mengelt, the sports editor of the News and Tribune, coming on to join me here a little bit later in the program. A lot of questions about what exactly is going to take place tonight at New Albany High School. The junior all-star format has been a lot different this year than what it has been in past years. That's in part because there's been a series now between Indiana and Kentucky, and their juniors, just like there are this weekend for the seniors. The juniors played last weekend at Trinity and at Ben Davis in Indianapolis, so that shifted things around. Basically, you've got a core team of junior all-stars from Indiana. The core team played in both of the games, those that were available at least, played in both of the games over the weekend against the Kentucky juniors. And then you've got a North group, a South group, and a Central group to go with the core group. The Central group and the core group is what plays tonight at New Albany. So scheduled to be at the game, and I say that with emphasis because a lot of these guys are coming and going as far as opportunities and camps and different things that they're involved in. Keon Brooks of Fort Wayne North is one of the core all-stars expected to be there tonight. So I can't confirm he's going to be there, but he's on the list of people that are supposed to be at the game tonight. Also, Armand Franklin of Indianapolis Cathedral, he's a name that Indiana has flirted with and been interested in. Mason Gillis at Newcastle, an up-and-coming player. A lot of Big Ten schools, Ohio State, Purdue, Indiana, have at least looked at him. He's someone that might pop onto that level as his high school career continues. Trace Jackson Davis of Center Grove, we told you in the last segment, he was selected to the under-18 men's national team. He's on the core team and is slated to attend tonight. Brandon Newman of Valparaiso. I think he is injured. I know he missed both of the junior games over the weekend. I don't know if he'll be in attendance tonight or not. And Isaiah Thompson, another guard from Zionsville, that, of course, Purdue has been on very heavy. He will be there as well for the core team. The central team, I'll give you the names, but they aren't names that I don't think anyone is going to really know unless you are an absolute diehard fan that follows this stuff very closely. Manuel Brown of Indianapolis Cecina, Luke Bumbleloo from Newcastle, Connor Jones from Danville, DeJuan Jones of Indianapolis, Ben Davis, Sam Skaggs up in Logansport, and John Michael Malloy. That would probably be the most recognizable name. Carmel and New Albany have played the last handful of years, and of course Malloy was in the state championship game taking on Warren Central with Carmel. He's a Butler commit and on the Central group of junior all-stars. So those are the boys' players that are at least scheduled to be in the game tonight. And again, I emphasize scheduled because if you look at the box scores and you look at some of the reports from the Indiana-Kentucky junior games over the weekend, you'll notice that Trace Jackson Davis was gone. Keon Brooks wasn't there. A lot of the core team players were not able to be there for the game Saturday or Sunday. So again, those are the players that are supposed to be at the game tonight, and we'll keep you posted if we have any updates. But again, that is just a roster that's been published by the All-Star folks about who from each team is supposed to be at the game tonight. Nonetheless, what you know for sure you're going to see are the senior All-Stars. I spoke with Jim Shannon, who is, of course, the coach of the Indiana All-Stars. They began what they're calling a mini camp yesterday up in Indianapolis, staying at Marion University, and getting an opportunity really to work with these guys because, again, this isn't your typical All-Star game. There's no question about that. This is an all-star game with a lot of pride. Do I think you'll see some slam dunks and highlights? Absolutely, because you've got top-caliber players on both teams. And, of course, you've got Romeo Langford. He's a human highlight reel at times. But you're going to see hard play. You're going to see defense played, I think, for the most part, in the game, especially this weekend. And even tonight, there's a little bit of a rivalry because the juniors have beat the seniors a handful of times in Indiana, and this is a junior class that obviously is very good. The senior class is great as well. I think the senior class will win. I don't think they'll have any problem with them, but hey, this is the one opportunity the juniors have to show that they are up and coming, that they maybe are better than this senior class. They used to be able to play twice. They used to have an exhibition on Tuesday and Thursday. Now that they have the game against Kentucky for the juniors, things have been reformatted a bit this year. But no question about it, tonight will be fun. Each of these games coming up tonight and Friday and Saturday bring some different angles you can see them through. And, of course, tonight the juniors want to show the seniors that they belong. This weekend it's a rival between two great states for basketball. Should be a lot of fun. A couple other notes that I didn't get to in the first segment that I do want to pass along. For Friday's game, there are still just under 400 tickets left at Bellarmine. So if you don't have a ticket, make sure you log on to KentuckyBasketballCoaches.org and get a ticket. Again, KentuckyBasketballCoaches.org. Under 400 tickets, available for the Indiana-Kentucky games at Bellarmine on Friday night. So if you're thinking about going, if you thought it was going to be sold out and you wouldn't get the opportunity to get a ticket, here's your chance. There are still some left. You can log on. Very easy process to purchase the tickets online. They email them directly to you. You just got to print them or show your phone as you go through the door Friday night, and you'll be good to go. But under 400 tickets now remaining for the Indiana-Kentucky All-Star Games at Bellarmine on Friday night. Major League Baseball draft. We said yesterday Timmy Borden of Providence was on the draft boards for a lot of major league teams and expected to go on day two of the draft. And I'm being told that he did get the opportunity to be drafted. A lot of times they'll call you before the pick is made in the fourth round, but decided the offer wasn't exactly what he wants, and he's going to go on to the University of Louisville and play at Omaha. That's the report that I'm getting on Timmy Borden yesterday. Still, it's been a good Major League Baseball draft for Indiana players so far. No one necessarily from our immediate area, but of course Nick Schnell of Roncalli in Indianapolis, he went in the first round as the 32nd pick overall in the Major League Baseball draft. A couple other names, and I'm not necessarily familiar with these guys, but Reed Schaller from Lebanon, he went in the third round, pick 101. We had four picks from Indiana in the fifth round. Matt Vierling from, let me tell you where he's from, he went in fifth round, pick number 107. He's a Notre Dame baseball player. Indiana baseball player, John Stiver, he went in the fifth round, pick number 138. Another high school player, 139, so back-to-back picks in the fifth round. Actually, three in a row, 137, 138, 139, all Indiana players. Ryan Campbell went in the fifth round, number 139. He's at Carmel High School. And the last pick so far from Indiana in the fifth round, number 164, was Devin Mann. He's a player at Columbus North. He would be the closest player to our area to get drafted in the draft so far. So we'll see what happens. Still some picks left, but obviously a good draft for players from Indiana or players with Indiana connections so far, with a number of players, one in the first round, one in the third round, and then four in the fifth round getting selected to play. We've talked some about Silver Creek playing this weekend. They will take on Indian Creek in a one-game semi-state with the opportunity to move on to a one-game 3A state championship the following weekend at Victory Field. That game could be played on Friday. It could be played on Saturday. The IHSA releases those matchups and game times at the conclusion of the semi-state round. But an interesting situation that I've only followed from a distance, and I wasn't quite sure how it would unfold. But Monday night, the IHSA had a special meeting because Indianapolis Cecina violated the pitch count. IHSA pitch counts have come in just like the Little League rules, very similar cutoffs that allow you to come back the next day or to have a two-day, a three-day, a four, or a five-day break. Cecina violated the pitch count rule in their regional day. It was a self-reported incident, and the pitcher in question obviously went over the limit for the day, and they had to self-report it. It's the right thing to do. The IHSA decided that Cecina will move on. There was a question at first if they would get the chance to move on to the semi-state after violating the pitch count rule, but they will move on, and the IHSA has ruled that the pitcher in question will be ineligible for the semi-state game. So kind of odd scenario there. Somebody in the dugout not tracking the pitches, especially you've got two games in one day. I don't know if this pitcher in question pitched both games or just was a one-game deal, but no question about it that a pitch count, something you really got to watch with high school players, you really got to watch with the Little League players. We get into the Little League district and state tournaments coming up later this summer. We always have a blast getting out following the local teams from New Albany and Jeffersonville and District 5 in Little League Baseball, and that's one of the things. Those pitch count rules are in there for a reason and so very, very valuable. Even at the high school level sometimes, you got to watch what you're doing. And Cecina, lucky that they will advance despite that violation. We'll head to a commercial break. When we return, Greg Mengelt of the News and Tribune will be in studio with me. We'll talk about tonight's Indiana junior-senior exhibition game, which will be aired right here on the Big X Sports Radio around 7:45 tonight. We'll also talk some other local topics, including Silver Creek baseball, their matchup this week against Indian Creek at Jasper. We'll have that game as well on our airwaves Saturday afternoon. Stay with us as the Hoosier Report rolls along right here on the Big X Sports Radio.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
Let's win this one for all the small schools who never had a chance to get here.
Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Let's win for Coach. You got us here.
Here's Matt Dennison.
We're back here on a Wednesday edition of the Hoosier Report. Before I bring Greg Mengelt on, one more note from the Junior All-Star game tonight. I see that Keon Brooks Sr., the father of Keon Brooks Jr., has announced that he will not be able to make the game tonight in New Albany due to being stuck in Colorado Springs, is what he tweeted out. Of course, Keon tried out for the under-18 national team, did not make it. Trace Jackson Davis did. But Keon giving a shout-out to say good luck to his teammates tonight. So, again, that's the roster I gave you earlier. is who is slated to be there, expected to be there. I'm sure that there's always the possibility that, and I wonder if Keon is stuck, is Trace Jackson Davis, is there some sort of weather or something out there that he's not been able to get out of the airport either. So hoping that as many of those players that I read off to you are there, because tonight, no matter who the competition is, Greg, should be a lot of fun for Romeo and crew to see him in the doghouse wearing that number one jersey back for a finale. You don't always get that opportunity when you go out in your high school career, and a neat thing to have.
All the Indiana and Purdue guys and all the recruits, they don't really matter tonight. There are three guys who matter tonight to the local crowd. So as long as Romeo Langford, Sean East, and Jim Shannon show up, I think we're going to have a really good show, and people are going to be excited to see it. Obviously, I'm kidding. There's a lot of guys around the state that most of our people haven't seen that they'll get a chance to see tonight that you should look forward to seeing. A couple that I mean, obviously, we've seen Finnessy. Saw Anderson, played right before New Albany up in Indianapolis this year. And a few guys there would like to see Davis again. Obviously, New Albany fans are familiar with him. And it should be a lot of fun. The girls' game, of course, as well. So should be a fun night. It's very cool that they decided to put it at New Albany. I think that was probably a really good idea by them. Same thing with Bellarmine rather than Frankfort, to make those crowds as large as possible. And I have a feeling that they will be three really large crowds.
Hope so. I know there are still plenty of tickets available tonight, was the wording that I was told, plenty of tickets. So don't be scared about not getting a seat. I would get there at a reasonable time, by halftime of the girls' game, something like that. But I don't think you'll have problems getting in. And I do think it'll eventually be a really good crowd tonight. I don't know that it will reach sellout capacity, but should be a nice crowd at the doghouse tonight to see Romeo and Sean again in their final game at New Albany.
Exactly. It's their final game at New Albany. I thought for sure this would be, people would be clamoring for tickets. So yeah, get out there.
You know, as good as the support has been during the season for New Albany, I don't sense any disappointment from anyone, but I do think that tickets like Bellarmine, there's still just under 400 tickets left. There's plenty of tickets left for tonight. Again, I think Bellarmine will be a sellout by the time the games begin. Mm-hmm. I think that there will be at least a really good crowd at worst tonight at New Albany High School. But, you know, there is a difference from high school ball to an all-star game, even if a lot of your interested players are participating in said all-star game. I think that kind of underscores how special the high school component is because, yeah, the community is obviously behind Romeo and Sean as well, and people are going to follow what happens tonight, whether they go to the game or not. But, you know, it's summertime. School just got out there, vacations. Kids are playing baseball. The little leagues are all coming down to their final tournaments and things like that. So a lot of things going on that maybe aren't going on in the spring or in the winter months when a big high school game goes on. But with that said, I still think that it's a special time in our game, and I think that this series needed a boost like that. This Indiana-Kentucky All-Star Series needed this type of interest to maybe survive. Yeah. And so I'm really pulling for big, big crowds at all three stops coming up this week.
Yeah, I mean, obviously going out and cheering for your hometown team is a different story, but this is a chance to say thank you to two of the all-time great Bulldogs and to a coach who led the New Albany to a state championship and support them and love them one more time. So I would hope that there's a big crowd that kind of backs up the reputation that they got throughout the season of being the best fans, one of the best fan bases in the world. I mean, let's be honest. If it's the biggest fan base, if it's the best fan base in Indiana basketball, it's the best fan base in any basketball prep-wise. So, they have a chance to kind of go out there and prove to the world one more time that, you know, they feel like they're the best home court that there is, and one last chance to go out and prove that this year. And right. Then let's not forget to do that next year too.
Let's not forget about the kids that are still there, because they're going to be pretty darn good.
Greg Bingelt, News and Tribune, is my guest. Of course, all the coverage of the All-Star game coming up at newsandtribune.com, at NewsTribScores on Twitter. Everything we talk about, it's either in the paper now, will be in the paper, just local headlines. It's what Greg and I cover in Southern Indiana sports each Wednesday here on the show. I have professed that I'm not a fan of All-Star games. Mm-hmm. I'm just not. They're no defense. There's no interest in who wins. There used to be a time, even in the McDonald's game, where the kids really cared who won. The kids really got into who won the game. And I even since this year, I was courtside for the game in Atlanta. I just didn't get a feeling that they really cared who won the game. But I've taken a different approach this year because, obviously, Romeo Langford is involved, some of the national games that I may have had on the TV, but while I was doing other work or while I was doing something else, you pay a little bit of attention to. Obviously, this year I went to the McDonald's game. I'll probably never go again unless it's right here in this area or there's another local player involved. But I've changed my approach a little bit because it's fun to watch Romeo because he's such a great player and because of what we know mm-hmm. off the court that he's been able to accomplish here in the area. So it kind of – you take a different approach with those games. However, the Indiana-Kentucky game is a game that still, even in the down years, even when the crowds haven't been very good, even when the game has maybe been missing Kyle Guy, Indiana Mr. Basketball, a few years ago because he had to go on to Virginia. He couldn't wait around for the game. He had to be there. He had to get moved in. He had to start summer school. It's just what his next coach was asking of him. Doesn't understand how important this game used to be 10 years ago or 20 years ago and really probably doesn't care. But even in games where we were missing, Indiana was missing key players, it still mattered. You know, right. The defense was still played by both sides. Down the stretch, no one was giving up, whether they were up 10 or down 10. And it just was a series where, yeah, it's an all-star game. It's the best players from two states playing against each other. But there's a whole bunch of meaning to it. And then Indiana and Kentucky, as colleges, IU and UK, don't play. At least they don't at this time and haven't for the last number of years. And so it was kind of the big bragging point where IU fans and Purdue fans could get behind kids from their state, whether they were going to their respective universities or not to play, and same for the schools in Kentucky. And so it's always had a special place in the landscape of basketball. I think that's definitely slipped greatly for a number of reasons that we could probably mention, and a number of conflicts with kids having to go to school and enroll in summer school to play Division I basketball. But still, this series means a lot, and that's something I appreciate, that the kids have always played hard and took it serious, and it's never been, well, I'm guarding Greg Mengelt, but I'm going to step aside and let Greg make this thunderous dunk because that's what the fans want to see and that's the right thing to do. No, I'm going to guard Greg Mengelt and try to block Greg Mengelt because he's Kentucky and I'm Indiana and I don't want him to score. And, you know, there's a little pride involved in this one.
Sure. And let us not forget that Indiana and Kentucky did play recently in an NCAA tournament game. So we don't want to forget that. So
true.
but yes, this is nothing like the McDonald's All-American game or the NBA All-Star game or the, you know, any of the other exhibition games. This is, you know, for years, and Kentucky won a game last year, but for years, Indiana took a lot of pride in dominating the series. Kentucky put a lot of pride in trying to disrupt Indiana's dominance. And before that, it was a pretty competitive series, and Indiana, I think, has always led the series. But before that, it was very competitive, and basically, the teams would split almost every year. And you know, the talent level in Kentucky was near the talent level in Indiana. That has not been the case for what, 20 years, 15, probably 15 years now. Part of that is Indiana has really produced some top level talent. Maybe not as deep as it was in the 70s and 80s, the depth of talent, but top-level talent. I mean, just it's just been nonstop for 15, 20 years. I mean, it's just three, four, five guys who are going to make a Division I impact right away every year on the Indiana roster. And Kentucky just hasn't been able to match that. But I can't imagine that they will this year either. Good sign for them, I guess, that they're beating the junior teams. Of course, you mentioned that the juniors were without a couple of really good players, but they really do take pride in. And I think it'll start with the coach, Jim Shannon, probably as much as any Indiana high school coach is familiar with Kentucky, because they play a few times against a few Kentucky teams. Teams down here do more than teams up in the northern part of the state. And I think the coaches will instill that this is for our state. This isn't just some exhibition game that you get to go out and show off your talent. This is for your state. Take some pride in this. And I think they have maintained that over, even despite the one-sided nature of the series over the last few years.
Greg Bengel, sports editor of the News and Tribune, is with us. I got a tweet. Somebody, actually two or three people, sent it. I appreciate you guys sending that. That said, Keon Brooks will not be here tonight. I mentioned that at the start of the segment. So while you were talking there, I did look up Trace Jackson Davis's Twitter. No mention that he won't be there. So hopefully he was able to make his way back from Colorado Springs and will be there tonight. If I hear anything about players coming or going later in the day, I'll tweet it out at Hoosier Hills. And I know that a lot of people will be interested in knowing for sure. But again, thankfully, we're not relying, Greg, on junior all-stars to make this a special night.
No. Yes.
It's all about Romeo and Sean East, to me, the players on the court, and will be a lot of fun. One thing about Jim Shannon, and we're going to have Coach Shannon with us, I'm sure, later in the week leading up to the Friday all-star game at Bellarmine. We'll also have the Kentucky coach again, Scott Chalk, back for a game day preview as well. But one thing to consider, for a guy that's had a lot of success in high school basketball, you think the all-star game, he's had a great career, wanted to be all-star coach, finally got the opportunity. It just happened to coincide with having two players from New Albany, not just one and not just Mr. Basketball, but two all-stars on the roster, which is, takes it to a whole nother level, I would assume. But a lot of pressure there to beat Kentucky, to have Romeo Langford and to play against Kentucky. Everybody thinks if you have Romeo, you shouldn't lose to anybody. And so he's trying to mesh these guys together as we speak. They're practicing to have some sort of offense, some sort of basic movements and conglomeration on the floor that makes sense, and trying to work in his players to make sure they get plenty of touches and playing time, but also trying to work in a lot of other really, really talented players that, again, there's 13 players on the team. They're all 13 used to not only starting but scoring a lot of points, having the ball in their hands a lot of time in the game. And in an all-star game, there's rotations. You're not always going to get the touches, the points, the just everything about the game changes.
I hadn't really thought about there being any pressure on Coach Shannon, but you think about this team, and, honestly, it's one of the most accomplished high school teams that Indiana's probably had. I mean, how many 2,000-point scorers do you have, or, 1,900-point scorers? I think four or five on this team. You've got one of the all-time greats. The good news is I don't think he's going to have to worry about the pressure. I don't think it's Friday and Saturday. I don't know that much about Kentucky, but I do know that they don't have nearly the talent that Indiana does, having looked at the recruiting rankings and stuff like that. So the good news is I think he's going to win a couple of games, and Romeo Langford and Sean East are going to go out on top.
As they should.
And it's going to be I think both games will probably be fairly one-sided, but we'll see. It'll be interesting to see how they handle Romeo. Do they double team him and leave four other all-stars, open? Do they pay him that much respect? I doubt it. I doubt that they'll do that. But the other thing is, for 4 years, we have watched Romeo Langford be the guy, without question, basically, I'd say for the last 3.5 years, about halfway through his freshman season, he started becoming the guy. And we really haven't seen him. He's had good teammates, but you haven't seen guys who are near his level a whole lot, except for these all-star games that you've talked about that are pretty much worthless. So it'll be a lot of fun to see what kind of shot selection he has, whether he changes that for this than what he was in high school. It'll be interesting to see his movement off of the ball. Is that different than it was in high school because of the level of players he's playing with? Do you get more hard cuts because you know that you have teammates capable of finding you going to the basket or drifting out to the three-point line? And you know he has those types, and a couple of guys who will be his teammates at Indiana. So I think it'll be interesting to see how that plays out and whether or not he puts up as high a volume of shots as he normally would in a basketball game.
Greg Mendigel, sports editor of the News and Tribune, is in studio with me talking a lot of basketball today. I promise at some point before we go, we're going to talk Silver Creek baseball for a moment, what a season they've had. But I want to continue on. Last night was the first big night of Summer League. It's called the Kentuckiana Summer Basketball League at the Southern Indiana locations, which last night were New Albany, Hazelwood, and Scribner, the two middle schools as well that feed into New Albany. So you had essentially three locations rolling, a total of six courts among those three locations, and a ton of games last night. A couple notes. I know you weren't there, but you're always like me, thinking ahead to next season. New Albany and Henryville played each other to start the day at New Albany. The Bulldogs got two wins, able to get past Henryville pretty decent, but then a really tough game against Tell City. Tell City came up from, of course, right about halfway between Evansville and here, played Jeffersonville and New Albany. They led Jeff for 6 to 8 points for a lot of the game. The Red Devils came back to win. I think New Albany beat Tell City by 3 or 4 points last night. And again, it's summer ball. Everybody's playing. Coaches are trying different things. But I do want to highlight Tell City for just a moment because they are coached by Matt Lynch, a former New Albany coach, a former player at New Albany. And he left New Albany to take the Tell City job. Has some talent moving through the program. He's done a great job getting them together. And they, for sure, are headed for what could be a big year this upcoming season. A little bit out of our coverage area, but it's always neat to see a coach come back and do well with a group. He's had some success getting on the same page.
And Jim Shannon's tree has been pretty successful, if you think about the few coaches who have gone on to better things, including Crawford County getting to the state finals a couple of years ago. So Tell City's not exactly been a basketball juggernaut.
Although back in the year, they were back in the day, I should say, right, as the kids say, they were really good.
Right. But recently they have not been exactly a juggernaut. So that'll be quite a resume enhancer for him if they're very successful.
Absolutely. A couple of notes. And I wasn't at the New Albany location. I was at Hazelwood. I got to see Silver Creek, and I'm going to talk about them in just a minute. But Jeffersonville playing last night without Jacob Jones, who missed the, you know, again, kids have to miss in the summer. It's not as stringent as the regular season, but a lot of weapons for Jeffersonville. Trey Coleman still putting his game together, but he has so many different ways that he can be effective. And then you've got New Albany without Romeo, without Sean. There all of a sudden becomes a whole bunch of points and a whole bunch of just simple touches of the ball that become available in the course of a game. And so I got to see New Albany last Thursday for the first time. They played DeSales from across the river in Louisville. And it's a team that you can tell there's talent there, and you can tell that some of those players are looking forward to the more touches and maybe the more points. I think Derek Stevenson for New Albany had like 25 points last Thursday against DeSales. But it's a New Albany team that's got a lot to figure out as far as who's going to score when, who's going to step up when, roles and those sorts of things. So really a core group of about 6, 7, 8 guys with a lot to figure out this month. And that's what you look forward to seeing. If you're going to go out and watch this stuff as a fan or as a media person, you want to see how they put it all together. So it's interesting to see that from New Albany. And, of course, we know the weapons that Jeff has coming back.
Yeah, I think obviously New Albany can be very good. And I think also Jeffersonville and Floyd Central are going to be very good as well. But once they start getting comfortable with themselves and what they are, and that they don't have a security blanket that will bail them out at all times, I look forward to seeing, you know, Stevenson. You could see last year as a sophomore, he was known as a defender. Last year, you could really see his offense take off. And you know, Julian Hunter, I think, has the mindset of a go-to guy and will become a completely different player. Horrigan has an awful lot of talent. And those aren't the only guys. Those are the ones that we're used to seeing. But, you know, there are some Starks as a heck of a good young player, and you know, that we haven't really seen. So it'll be interesting to see what they can do once they realize that there's no one going to be there to bail them out, and it's up to them now.
And before we go on to Silver Creek, because I did get a chance to see them play a couple games last night, I do want to mention that Jordan Thomas at New Albany is a really a name to watch. Mm-hmm. Made some great moves in the game against the Sales. Had a good close to the JV season a year ago. Of course, he's got a lot of height and length, and what a wingspan he has. He's someone else I really look to play a role on the Bulldogs team next year. Silver Creek, Brandon Hoffman has a lot of talent going through his program right now. In the summer league, he actually did something interesting that other coaches have done before. He entered two varsity teams, a blue team and an orange team. And the orange team, I would suspect, is kind of the 1A team, the blue team, the 1B. But a lot of talent, a good mix of talent from across the young grades especially, some incoming freshmen, some incoming sophomores that I expect to contribute for him at the varsity level. They got underway last night with some good victories at Hazelwood, had a nice competitive game with Seneca to close the night. But no question about it, there's a lot of talent moving through the Silver Creek program right now.
Yeah, not just basketball either. Obviously, they're missing a couple of players who are still with the baseball team. So, who are in the semi-state right now. So I don't think there's any doubt that's a team that's a state championship contender. Right now, I'll say it, Silver Creek is going to be one of the best teams in 3A, if not the best team in 3A next year. And just watching the athleticism and the athletic ability of Holden Grohr, for example, out on the baseball field, you know, they've got freshmen playing in every sport. Going to be sophomores this year, made an impact on every sport at Silver Creek. It's, you know, what a class that is, apparently. Loaded with talent. I think especially basketball, but the football team was helped by young kids. The baseball team, it goes on and on. So they had some really good track athletes who were younger. So, watching what happens at Silver Creek over the next 3 years in the big three sports is going to be very interesting.
One final note before we get to Silver Creek baseball about the Kentuckiana Summer Basketball League. It continues tonight at Moore High School. Number of good games on that side of the river. And it's back at New Albany, Scribner, and Hazelwood on Thursday. Admission is only $2 a person. So get out. The stamp you get is good at all locations. The first game at New Albany Thursday begins at 4:30. The first game at Hazelwood Thursday begins at 2:30. And the first game, all the middle school games at Scribner, they get underway at 4:30. Floyd Central plays on Thursday at Hazelwood. Providence plays on Thursday. They open their summers in the league on Thursday at New Albany. A number of good games. Fern Creek is coming over to take on Silver Creek on Thursday at New Albany. New Albany and Jeffersonville both play Ballard on Thursday as well. So going to be a fun day of basketball. Thursday is a huge day for the league. So get out, and we'll give you all the schedule. We'll put it on social media here later today for Thursday. But should be a great deal for summer basketball, at least, on Thursday. Greg, Silver Creek baseball, what a ride they've had. They have been to that regional so many darn times, I think 6 times in 8 years. And for the first time Saturday night, a late game. It didn't get started until about 9:30 Eastern time. Would have been 8:30 Central time back in Evansville. But a late game, they were able to power through and beat a good Memorial team and move on to the semi-state.
Yeah, that's a team all year that we've been talking up. Incredible lineup with two really good pitchers. We knew this was a team that we thought could get where they are and even beyond. And, you know, when you have Sammy Barnett, you know, able to throw on the mound, you've always got a chance. I know Indian Creek's really good. It's going to be a tough game, but I wouldn't be surprised to see Silver Creek playing in Indianapolis a week from Friday or Saturday. You know, it's a program, as you said, I've lived here for 15 years, and I don't think they've ever not been good, ever, under Joe Decker. And they've always run into Jasper and Southridge and South Spencer, whoever the teams are in that area that are so good, that have been the 3A powers, not just in Southern Indiana, but in Indiana, to not have to go through them. And maybe they beat them this year anyway, because I think they're that good. But good for them. Good opportunity for them. Wish it had been more than one team, because we had a few more opportunities than that.
Two or three.
Yeah. They're carrying the banner now.
Got a couple quick things. One, Isaiah Stewart, a 5-star interior player, currently on his unofficial visit at Indiana on the IU campus. That's from Josh Margolis of Inside the Hall. And you'll like this one. I meant to mention this earlier, but yesterday Romeo Langford named to be the Grand Marshal of the 2018 Madison Regatta Parade on July 6th in downtown Madison.
Very nice. He was so impressive, I guess, against Madison all those years that, you know, that let's be honest, that's a pretty big deal. When you're talking about that sport, that's as big as it gets. That's the Indy 500 of boat racing. So, cool deal.
Also, Providence, no official announcement yet, but the cat's out of the bag. Sean Smith will be the next boys varsity coach. They're waiting for an official announcement as well. I meant to say that the last couple of days. He's met with the team. I don't think as of yesterday he's able to coach. He can watch, but can't. It got to go through some background and protocol with the school and the archdiocese and those sort of things. But nonetheless, Sean Smith expected to be at Providence, and we'll be catching up, I'm sure, with Coach Smith here very soon. Greg?
We'll be happy to have him back in our area.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Greg, great to catch up with you. Don't forget junior-senior exhibition game tonight. Greg has coverage of it is in the paper. We have it on the radio tonight. So join Lee Kelly and I about 7:30. Greg, talk with you next week right here on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.